Today on Real Radio.
Remember, as I said a couple of studies ago, regarding these four hearts, only 25% of the listeners are the ones that wind up into heaven. Out of the four hearts, 75% of them never make it to heaven. You say, well, Jack, that's true, but God's not into statistics. This is true, but Jesus said, narrow is the way that leads to eternal life, and few there be that find it. Broad is the way that leads to hell and to destruction, and many there are on that path. And so when you think about this, 25% of Jesus' illustration are the ones that make it to heaven. Out of 100%, only 25% make it.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days are freely. Give you my praise. My heart is in your hands. Let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the New Testament narrative written by Luke. We're in a mini-series that examines the first 15 verses of chapter 8. The passage includes the parable of the sower, and it's a four-part series because there are four different types of soil or hearts that react to the Word of God. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs with more in this series called Is This Your Heart?
The seed is always the same. You guys, seeds are amazing. Did you know that they took out of one of the tombs of the pharaohs, peas, you know, peas, vegetables. And maybe you saw this on the History Channel. They took peas and corn. They took it out of his tomb, and it was like thousands and thousands of years old. And you know what they did? They put it in a laboratory, and they planted the peas and the corn. Guess what happened? They grew. That scientist hoped that they would grow. That scientist had a thought they might grow. But the hope and the thought caused them to put it into dirt. And what did it do? It grew. The Bible says, concerning the Word of God, it is the seed. And the seed is the same. The seed, the Word of God, never changes. Keep that in mind. It is the soil that varies. The seed comes in, and Jesus is speaking about the heart that we all want to be like. And I'm always amazed at the wonderful mathematical odds of a one grain of kernel that is taken and planted in the ground. This is mathematically a fact. It is hard to believe, but it's mathematically proven. It is this. If you were to take one grain of corn, one, and put it in the ground, and then harvest it, over and over again from one grain, you could feed the entire world to the point where at currently 6 billion plus people, there would not be one hungry person on the planet. The reason why there are hungry people on the planet is because of political reasons. Did you know that? Go search it. Well, what about drought and famine? Listen, drought and famine, many droughts and famines, by the way, are famines, are caused often by political unrest. People are not allowed to go to other regions to get food that don't have the rainfall. Look at Ethiopia and places like that. God provides. God's faithful. But when man tampers with the plan of God, it gets goofy. God provides. One grain of corn from the hand of God put in the ground will produce enough food to feed the world. So why is anybody hungry? Because of politics. The Word of God. It's amazing to realize that it's able to grow because of the seed, the Bible. And Jesus said that this heart is open to the Word of God. I want to ask you, are you open to the Word of God? Are you willing? Jesus said, this is the right kind of heart. This is the heart that I will accept into heaven. A heart that is open to my Bible, open to my Word. And I want to ask you, are you that kind of a heart? Now watch this. I'm a pastor. I deal in the Word of God. Someone comes to me, and I'm thinking about a real life situation. Someone comes to me and is talking about one thing and another, and our conversation leads from one thing to another. And I ask the question, well, who are you living with? Oh, my girlfriend, I thought you were married. Well, I am married, but, you know, things have been rough at home, and God wants me happy, and there's a girl from the office, and we've moved in together. And I said, man, you came in here to talk about one reason, one purpose, one situation. Forget that. That's just a symptom, my friend. The cause is you're disobedient to God. You're running from your family. You're running from your kids. You're running from your wife. You're running from God, and you're living with your secretary? You're an adulterer. Watch this. Just pause right there. Do I have your attention, everyone? This person's come to church to hear some counsel about a little situation in their life. It opens up a greater door about the issue of their life. They want the Word of God as long as it applies to their problem that they think is a problem. Watch. I said, you will not be blessed. God will not hear your prayer, the Bible says, because you are an adulterer. Watch. Man. Listen, you're not to judge me, Pastor. You're judging me. The Bible says you shall not judge. And whoop, doo, 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 all of a sudden, an expert on the Bible. Isn't that amazing? And here's my answer every time. I'm sorry if I cause you to think that I'm judging you. I take it back then if that's what you feel. I'm not judging you. Let me be very, very clear. The Word of God judges you and says, no adulterer will enter the kingdom of heaven. Galatians chapter 5. You see, I have no authority, no human in this church has the authority to judge any one of us. We are to be fruit inspectors, but we're not to be judges. God's word judges us. And that is the issue. That is the key. And I know that stings to maybe one heart today, but maybe that is the very sting that you hear in your heart where God says right now, that's why you need me, Susie. That's why you need me, Mike. Are we not guilty? Are we not maybe guilty of worse things? Yet isn't God faithful to forgive if we'll come to him? Is your heart open? And so Jesus teaches us also, thirdly under this, a heart that is able to produce, it's able because of the situation. He says, and it yielded a crop 100-fold. This is Dr. Luke speaking, and he's talking about a bounty crop. I love it. The word that he uses in the Greek is a life that is exploding with fruit. A productive Christian life comes through the struggles, as I mentioned, but there's no other way to produce that way. So the truth is we can be encouraged by the difficulties that's in our life. And the Bible, my friend, as a believer, you know, is our reality. And God's word is effective in our lives if we, number one, know it, and number two, if we are having situations go on in our life. And so when he says your life will yield a crop, that is, in all of life situations, your life will be fruitful. More fruit you see in a person's life. Do you know anybody godly? Do you know anybody who your heart is saying, follow them? They love the Lord. Do you know anybody that has led you closer to Jesus? Understand this. Their life of fruitfulness has come about because there is a life parallel in them of situations and of difficulties and of challenges that they've endured. That's why personally I like to be around either A, brand new believers who are all excited about God, or believers who have weathered the storms of life. You want to know why? There's no games in that. The new believer doesn't care. They're excited. They'll talk about Jesus in public while some lukewarm Christian turns all red because somebody mentioned God in public. They get all nervous. The new believer could care less. He's all, praise the Lord, man. And the old seasoned saint, and you don't have to be old to be a seasoned saint, by the way. You just had to have endured stuff. And there is a peace about them that I want to be around. You know that they're true because they've gone through the stuff and they've held close to Jesus. You know, when you leave this church today, by the way, look around. I know it's freezing outside this morning. But when you leave this church on either side of the sanctuary, if you go out toward the west building or you go out here toward the east side, have you seen those orange trees? Have you seen the oranges on the orange trees out there? Listen, when you came into the building, did you hear them complaining about it being 25 degrees out there? I mean, Schwarzenegger declared this a state of emergency. It's so cold. Did you know that? But did you hear the trees complaining about the state of emergency out there? They're just sitting there. Look, they're just there. And they got fruit hanging off of them. And the reason why they're able to do that is because they've hung in there. They've got their feet, so to speak, deep in the soil. And listen, 25 degrees this morning, but what will it be in the middle of September? 105? I've never heard them complain once. I've never heard them say, "Can I come in?" And what do? They just keep producing fruit. And in about 2 to 3 weeks, you'll be able to take some home with you. They just produce, never complaining. They know that they've been planted by God. This is their plant. It's in their DNA. And Christian, it is in your DNA. As the Spirit of God lives and moves in your life, you will produce fruit also. And listen, God will do it in you. God will do it through you. You won't hear those trees, and you won't hear a Christian walking in the Spirit going like this. "I'm an orange tree, so I guess I got to produce oranges. Oh. There's one little orange. Okay. There's two little oranges." They don't do that. And the Christian doesn't walk around either saying, I got to love more. No, the Spirit of God moves inside your life. Love comes out of you. And I got news for you. Are you ready to get cheered up? This cheers me up. I got news for you. When God does it in your life as a believer, you and I are the first ones impressed that God does it in our lives. When we see love come out of our lives, God's love, we're shocked. Did I say that? Did I do that? Thank you, Lord. People will say, "That was so wonderful what you did." I didn't do it. In fact, I wanted to do something else. But God did that. You know what I'm talking about. Second point this morning is this. Second point, is there a heart like this in you? A heart willing to learn? We learn this from the latter end of verse 8. When he who had said these things, Jesus, when he had said them, he cried out. And this is what he cried out saying, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." After studying this, it brings tears to your eyes, and I got my tears all filled up and emptied out by now. Jesus never once ever said, "Thus saith the Lord." He was the Lord. And what does the Lord say? This is the most precious thing, you guys. Jesus Christ himself cried out and said, and it's almost tragic, and yet it's beautiful. "He who has ears to hear." The gravity of that invitation, church, I don't know. I've thought about how I could explain this to you. I wrote in my notes, you got to be very passionate about this to communicate Jesus' vulnerability. And that's what I wrote. Do you know what Jesus is saying? "Thus saith the Lord." That's me. I came from heaven to earth. I left my throne and put on this human suit. And this is what I'm saying to you. Please, please, if you only knew what was at stake, and if you only knew that eternity's for real, with or without me, it's for real. Will you please hear my invitation? "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." He's begging us. God will never bend your arm, but this is as close as he gets. God will never force himself on you. God will never say, "Become a Christian or else you're going to get your head cut off." He'll never do that. It's true from the heart, your decision. And Jesus is saying, "Please, please hear me." You know, the heart of God, I bet if he could, he would say, "I'm going to bend your arm right now and make you believe this." But he won't do that because that's not a real relationship. My friend, learn this, that Jesus is the master. But his mastership over us is unlike anything you and I have ever known. In fact, for Robert and for Andrew, being in the Marines and in the Navy, they have masters. And those masters will cuss at them, say things about their mama, and say things about them. They will do things that should not be done, but it's done. And there are masters in the military. There are masters in the world. Saddam Hussein was the master of Iraq. Bin Laden is the master of Al-Qaeda. There are masters. Disagree, you're dead. Jesus is not like that. And yet he's the greatest master of all. How does that work? It does not work by tyranny. His mastership is never by force. The Lord is master over his subjects who have willingly submitted to him. Do you understand that the heart that Jesus loves and the heart that is heaven-bound is a heart that says, Lord, church, are you listening? Lord, will you rule and reign over me? Have you ever prayed that prayer? Let me ask you this. How often in a day do you pray that prayer? Lord, will you rule over me? Will you rule over my thoughts? God, will you rule over my lusts? Will you rule over my temper and my anger, God? Will you rule over me? Have you ever prayed the prayer, oh God, I don't want to think anymore. I want you to think for me. Have you come to that place of his mastery in your life where you just say, I don't want to be in charge? That's the greatest freedom in the world. I've been reading a book about George Washington. And every time he had something big to decide or something pressing, you know what? In fact, there's artist renderings because people would spy on George Washington. Did you know that? He would go away from everybody. And there's a famous pencil drawing that he went out into the woods just outside of Valley Forge. And he got on his knees in the snow. He got off his horse and he began to pray. And a pastor had followed him into the wilderness and was spying on him. And that prayer is even recorded because that pastor was snooping in. This snoop was listening, and Washington was crying out to God to intervene because things looked so bleak. And then nobody knew, but he came, except for that snoopy pastor. Then he comes riding back into town, and everyone who met Washington stated that there is not a king in all of Europe that wouldn't look like a valet next to the regalness of George Washington at all times. And Washington would tell you that his strength was from the Lord. He would cry out in his moment of weakness. That's the kind of heart that's toward God. Is, oh God, I can't do this. Will you do it through me and for me? Jesus says, that's a good heart. It's understanding who the master is. Not only who the master is, but who the host is. The Lord is the host. We need to learn that. When I say host, Jesus says, he who has ears to hear, let him come to me. Let him listen. Let him hear. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, the great inviter says this, in truth, the Bible speaks, for this reason, we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, Paul said, you welcomed it not as though it were the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. Jesus invites us, hear the word. And Paul said to the church at Thessalonica, you've heard the word. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22, listen to what Peter said. Now that you've been purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for the brothers, love one another deeply from the heart. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. For all men are like grass. Boy, is that not true? And all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever. And this is the word that was preached to you. Thirdly, a willing heart to learn is to learn that the Lord is King. Look at verse 8 again at the latter end. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. What a great statement this is, because Jesus is saying, I'm your master if you're willing. I'm your host. I invite you. Will you come? And Jesus says, I'm your king. Will you submit to me? When you meditate just on those three aspects of Christ, don't you want to, listen, are you not a Christian today? Man, if you're not a Christian, what do you need? Do you need another cup of coffee? We'll give it to you. What do you need? What else do you need to hear? You should become a Christian. Stop looking at the people around you. Well, I'm not going to be a Christian because this guy picks his nose. I'm not going to be a Christian because that guy never shuts up about God. Or I'm not going to be a Christian because I'll never say praise the Lord. Forget that stuff. What will you do with your soul? What are you going to do with all of your life and the stuff that you've achieved and the stuff you don't want anybody to know about? Jesus says, I still want to be your host. I still want to be your master. I still want to be your king. But you have to come to me. Do you have ears to hear? Are you listening? The heart that is toward God, the good soil, the good heart says, yes, I'm coming. I'll say yes to you, Lord. Remember, as I said a couple of studies ago, regarding these four hearts, only 25% of the listeners are the ones that wind up into heaven. Out of the four hearts, 75% of them never make it to heaven. You say, well, Jack, that's true, but God's not into statistics. This is true, but Jesus said, narrow is the way that leads to eternal life, and few there be that find it. Broad is the way that leads to hell and to destruction, and many there are on that path. And so when you think about this, 25% of Jesus' illustration are the ones that make it to heaven. Out of 100%, only 25% make it.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, in Southern California. In a presentation called, Is This Your Heart? It's a four-part mini-series that looks at the four types of soil, or the four different types of recipients of God's Word, as mentioned in the famous parable of the sower, taken from the first 15 verses of Luke chapter 8. It's part of our journey through this New Testament narrative, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, we do want to let you know about an upcoming event on the 4th of July. It has nothing to do with fireworks, by the way. But here's Pastor Jack to tell us more. Pastor Jack?
Mike, thank you very much. We are coming up on the Call to Fall outreach that literally spans America. And what that is a nationwide call for believers from sea to shining sea to get on their knees and to pray. The Call to Fall last year resulted in thousands and thousands of believers praying for revival, praying for our troops, praying for our leaders, praying for our government, and praying for God to have His way with America. Call to Fall. You can find out more about it by going to calltofall.com. That's call2fall.com. And when you go there, go to the section where it says, I'm in. And you can click on that button and be part of this amazing nationwide prayer gathering. And make a statement. Take a stand by falling on your knees. I encourage pastors and churches to take part of their Sunday morning service, just a few moments, to get on their knees. I tell you what, it's a moving thing. It's a powerful thing when a church physically gets on its knees on a Sunday morning and lifts up the concerns of our nation to our loving God. So let's meet at Call to Fall. God bless you.
Okay, so that's calltofall.com. C-A-L-L, the number 2, and then the word fall.com to find out more. You can also visit our website, realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Our telephone number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. And if you'd like to participate in the ongoing work of Real Radio, here's our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact information can be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous donations of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.